Okay, so the first thing we're told in the gospel today is that Jesus is leaving a city called Jericho, and there is a huge crowd that's following him. One translation says that there are a huge multitude of people were following Jesus. Why were they doing this? Well, no doubt they've seen what Jesus is capable of doing. They think, hey, we found a gold mine here. We might as well mine it. So by this time in the Gospels, the people have already seen what Jesus can do. He's healed a bunch of people. He has fed thousands of people on two different occasions, the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000 in the desert. And so, as I say, they think, wow, we found something here. Let's see what he can do. I want to see him pull off another miracle. And even more, if he can do one for me, that would be great. So, in other words, the crowd, or most of them anyways, are after Jesus purely for utilitarian reasons. It's a type of a relationship that a person would have with a vending machine. What do you do with a vending machine? You go up to it, you put your coins into it, you order what you want, you get it, and then you leave. And that's pretty much where your relationship with the vending machine ends. You don't stand to have a conversation with the vending machine. How's it going? You know, what's going on? No, you just leave. And then when you want something else, you go back to the vending machine and you order something else. So I think this is what a lot of people saw Jesus as, just this vending machine from heaven, as it were, who would answer their prayers and give them what they want. Now, there's absolutely nothing wrong with asking God for things. Jesus himself even instructs us. He commands us to ask for things from our Heavenly Father. For example, in the Our Father, he says to say, give us this day our daily bread. So it's a command. Jesus is commanding us to ask, to petition God for things. But having said that, I think we'd be missing out on so much if our relationship with Jesus is just reduced to asking for stuff, or when we get into trouble, or when we get into the emergency room, or when we experience a crisis of some sort. And most of the crowd that were following Jesus in today's gospel probably had this attitude, sort of an I'll see what I can get an attitude. And so right in the middle of this situation, we have this event, the story of Jesus meeting the blind man Bartimaeus, who is obviously needing something from Jesus. He has something he wants to ask Jesus. He's blind, and he wants to be able to see. So just to recap the story a little bit, as I said, Bartimaeus is a blind beggar who, when he senses Jesus is near, probably because of the crowd, maybe he asked him, who's this? Who's coming by? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth is coming by. And when he senses this, he shouts out, Jesus, I want to be healed, or have mercy on me. Now, at the end of the story, Jesus ends up giving Bartimaeus what he wants. He answers his prayer. He gives him his sight. But what's interesting is all the stuff that happens before that, because Jesus doesn't give him his sight right away. There's a few things that happen before that that are really instructive for us and can teach us a lot of how Jesus works. So, what happens? Bartimaeus senses Jesus coming, and he shouts out, Jesus, I want to be healed. And what happens? He gets shut down. It says that many sternly ordered him to be quiet. So he senses Jesus is coming, and he throws up a prayer. We'll see what happens. I'll shout out. What happens? He gets shut down. What does he do next? He shouts out a second time. Scripture says that he shouts out all the louder. Finally, Jesus stops and asks his disciples to bring Bartimaeus to Jesus. Bring him here. So the disciples go get Bartimaeus. They fetch him, bring him into the presence of Jesus. He's right there. He's standing in front of Jesus. Does Jesus heal him? Not yet. Not yet. Jesus asks Bartimaeus a rather strange question. A very strange question when you think of it. When you're reading the gospel rather quickly, you kind of miss how strange it is. So he asks him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? I don't know about you, but of all people, I wouldn't think Jesus needed to ask this question. I mean, he's Jesus. He likely anticipated what Bartimaeus needed. And secondly, it's not too difficult to spot someone who's blind, so Jesus probably saw what his need was. So he asks him anyways, what can I do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Why do you think Jesus asked Bartimaeus for an answer that's so seemingly obvious? And subsequently, why does Jesus make Bartimaeus go through the ringer, as it were, to go through these hoops in order to get what he's asking for? Well, I think part of the reason is because Jesus doesn't want Bartimaeus to have just a utilitarian relationship with him. I mean, they didn't have vending machines back then, but I'm sure that Jesus didn't want their relationship to resemble something as cheap as that. I mean, having a personal relationship with the Most High God, that's the most precious thing we can have. It is. But for that to be reduced to something like an you scratch my back if I scratch yours sort of thing, that's really tragic. So at times, Jesus delays giving the person what they're asking for, perhaps to safeguard them from treating him like a magician or like a vending machine. So what Jesus really wants is a personal and ongoing relationship, an ongoing relationship with each and every one of us. Now, it's not just for the sake of that relationship that Jesus wants us to come to him. I mean, Jesus is not being manipulative. It's not like he's pulling these tricks in order for us to get to recognize him or to notice him more. I remember seeing an episode in a TV series where there was two lawyers. There was a man and a woman, and the woman lawyer sued the guy lawyer for some crazy technicality, like it didn't need to happen, and brought him through the ringer. And at the end of it, she admitted to one of her girlfriends that, "I just did this so that he would pay attention to me." You know? That's not Jesus. He's not pulling these tricks in order for us just to pay attention to him. The reason why he wants to have an ongoing relationship with us is ultimately for our sake, because he wants us to see that he's doing some awesome things in our life. Even though it might not seem like so on the surface, he's doing some pretty awesome things. And if you just have an emergency relationship with Jesus, then you fail to see it. And this is something that even priests struggle with. I mean, I have the privilege of doing a lot of God's work, but there's a temptation for me not even to talk to God, you know? So even priests have to safeguard ourselves against that. I'm going to use an example that I went with a couple of weeks ago about this priest that I know who, as a young child, 7 or 8 years old, had lost his father. Actually, his father took off on the family, leaving his mom and himself to fend for themselves. So that was quite a wound that he was dealt at an early age, as you can imagine. And he carried that wound with him throughout his life. To make a long story short, he entered the seminary, he became a priest, and his first assignment as a priest was in an inner city parish, which was attached to an inner city school. So there's a lot of kids who have rough backgrounds at that school. And he discovered rather quickly that he was able to minister quite easily to help out a group of kids in that school. Why? Because they had gone through the same thing. They had experienced the same wound. Many of them were fatherless. So that wound that this priest had been carrying throughout his whole life, that he was dealt as a child, is obviously unfair, is cruel, is evil, is all of that. But it's through that wound that he's so effective now at ministering to people who have the same thing, who are going through the same thing. So, what's the point of me telling that story? I don't know this priest that well, but I would guess that as a kid or as a teenager, and maybe even as a young adult, there may have been times when he was tempted to give up on God. To say, "God, you've given me a bum deal," which means you don't care for me. You might not even exist, in which case I don't even know why I'm talking to you right now. He could have gone that path. That could have been the path that this priest took. And you know what? Who's to blame him? He wouldn't be the first one to vent his frustration at God. But like Bartimaeus in today's gospel, this priest kept coming back to God. He shouted all the more loudly throughout his whole life, as it were, to God. And it wasn't until much later in his life, as an adult, that he began to see God's hand in this situation. That he began to see God working in what seemed like on the surface to be a pointless and cruel situation. And as I mentioned, it was through this wound that he had that he was able to help those who were going through the same thing. What did it take for this priest to realize that? What did it take for him to see it? It took for him an ongoing relationship with God. Sometimes a rocky relationship, maybe a relationship that was on the brink of ending, but an ongoing relationship with God. Some of you here today, I don't know, maybe some of you, maybe quite a few of you, I don't know, you might be on the brink of ending your relationship with God, or at least considering your relationship with God something less important than it really is. You might have gone through the same experience as this priest. You might have lost your father at an early age, or it could be something else. I don't know. And I just encourage you, like Bartimaeus in today's gospel, and like this priest that I'm talking about, to not give up on God. To shout all the more loudly to God. Maybe you're praying for an answer to something, and it's like God is seemingly selectively deaf to what you're saying, to what you're asking for. Maybe you're a person who doesn't see the point of praying or coming to Mass, which I understand. I mean, I'm a priest now, but I wasn't born with the desire or appreciation to pray or to go to Mass. That kind of grew on me much later on. But again, don't be afraid to shout one more time to God. And if that's not you, perhaps you're a person who knows why God put you through the ringer. So years later, now you're looking back and you're saying, now I know why God allowed me to experience that. At the time, I didn't get it. I was blind to it, but now I understand. Now I know why. You have that aha moment. You've received your sight. Now I get why God allowed me to go through that. I'm the person I am today because of that. If that's you, because I know that's me, I know what's happened to me. If that's you, maybe this is a good opportunity to shout thanksgiving to God. Say, thank you, God, for allowing me to see why you put me through that or why I experienced that years ago. But don't be afraid to shout out to God. And I mean shout, right? Or at least have it out, to be honest, even brutally honest with God. It's good to know that a third of the Bible, a good chunk of the Bible, is written by God's own people railing against him, venting their anger and frustration against God and saying things like, God, why did you deceive us? Oh God, why did you allow us to suffer? Even Jesus himself, when he was on the cross, cried out, shouted out, my God, why have you abandoned me? Even the Son of God allowed himself to feel, in his humanity, abandoned by God, forsaken by God. So let this gospel encourage you to do the same to God. Imagine him asking this question to you today. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want of me? Talk to me. Let's have it out. Write it down. Shout it out. But what do you want me to do for you? And be honest about it. Because he's a loving father who wants to hear from us and ultimately wants us to be in an ongoing and honest relationship with him.